Happy Sunday, everyone.
Amen.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me here. So I'm not sure if everyone will hear me speaking because, you know, I'm not speaking your language just like you speak here. You know, I mean, I don't speak Southern. I don't speak Northern accent. Am I on here? Am I? So I don't know exactly which accent I speak. You know, probably somebody said Haitian, you know. Really? I live in Southern, you know, just I live in very South Florida, but they speak Northern accent, you know. So anyway, I don't like Southern, I don't like Northern. I have my own accent, okay? So I'm just kidding. So thank you so much for having me here, and I certainly appreciate that. And my name is Robinson Goiso. You know, sometimes, and people having a hard time to pronounce my name, even my last name. So don't worry about it. Even myself, I can't pronounce it either, you know. Can't pronounce my last name. You can call me Robinson, and if you want to, because a lot of people name here Robinson, you know, it's probably easy for you. I was born and raised and also got saved in Haiti. You know, probably one of missionary Moïse Lapierre, I just heard his testimony. So I haven't met him. I'd love to meet him, you know. So, and this is the same place we just raised and born, you know, in Haiti. You know, Haiti is a very tough country, and all of us, you know that, if you watch on news and everything like that, it's really tough. So I got saved because of the work of mission. I want to say that because people like you here who pray and also those who give and also those who go as a missionary to my country. And I was saved under the ministry of a missionary. He went there to start a church. And when I was 17, you know, and I was looking for something, and I was in hidden or ungodly home. So no one taught me how to know God or how to get saved. You know, no one in my family members just go to church, nothing. And even Haiti, we have like 80% of our population worship voodoo. Really tough. And you ought to thankful, you ought to be thankful every day for your country. It's part of what's going on, you know.
Yeah,
it's a one nation under God. And we can't say that to our country, one nation under God. And Haiti is a one nation under Satan. Worship all kind of voodoo, you know. And I got saved when I was 17, and after that, and I got baptized 2 weeks later and involved in church and doing some personal evangelism. And 2 years later, God had called me to preach because one pastor came from here to Haiti. He preached on mission, and seven of us came forward, and I was surrendering my life to preach. And 6 years later, and my dad lives here in Florida for 20-plus years, and allowed me to come here. Anybody hear me well here? Okay, are you sure?
Yeah.
Can I speak slow or can I speak very faster? Okay, a little bit slow maybe. Yes, yes. I want to make sure exactly. I don't want to speak only by myself, okay? I want to make sure everybody hear me. So anyway, and Dad allowed me to come here in the state, and I went to Bible college as well. You know, they didn't like my standard for what I stand for, you know, from the Word of God. And because and their idea and their minds, they want me to go to a secular school and learn something or degree or have a nice job, you know, make a lot of money. And I said, well, no, God called me to preach and I have to go to Bible college.
Amen.
They thought I was crazy. And because you say people, when you go to Bible college and you waste your time, your life, and just you don't make money and everything. This is their idea, you know. So, I mean, ministry is not about money. You know, it takes money to be in ministry, but it's about serving God, you know. So and then in 4 years in Bible college, and I was graduated last May. And also, now I'm on deputation right now, trying to raise some support to go back to Haiti to start a church in one place that called Henge in the middle in Haiti. That place has 50,000 people in it. And there, I went for a survey trip last year. There's no church over there whatsoever. I'm talking about Baptist believer church. I mean, just winning soul to Christ. There's no church like that. We might have some Pentecostal, you know, Church of God, you know. And I feel like this is where exactly God wants me to start a ministry over there. And I want you to pray for me, please, if you can. I have my table right over there on your left side if you go out by that door. And I have my prayer card and I have a sign-up sheet. If you can put your email address over there in that, and I can keep you updated as well. And I have something you can just take a look at. I have some mates over there. You're welcome to help yourself as well. So pray for me, please, and I believe on prayer. I pray for missionary every day. I believe that. So pray for me, and thank you so much for having me here, and I certainly appreciate that. So is there anything before I just, am I continuing Sunday school, everything? Okay. Yeah, before that, any question you'd like to ask before I just continue to teach my Sunday school? Anything just you want to know? Probably a couple questions. I'm just with. Yes, sir.
Which Bible college did you go to?
I went to Landmark Baptist College. If you know Dr. Mickey Carter, in Haines City, Florida, close to Orlando. Your pastor, no, Dr. Carter. Right. So, anyone else? Someone? Who is it?
That was the same question.
Oh, okay, okay. Yes, sir. All right, thank you so much. That's a wonderful question. I mean, I forgot to say that. Thank you for asking. I started deputation last September 2017. Right now, I'm 30% right now on support. Plus, there's a list of 10 churches I'm beginning to do some follow-up right now to call them, and they said they will support me, and some of them will just support me, and I'm just trying to do some follow-up right now. 30% so far, I count. Yes. All right. Okay, that's it. Anyone else?
Yes. What do you believe about the Bible?
The Bible?
Yes, sir.
Which Bible are you talking about?
What is the Bible? You tell me.
That's the Word of God. I'm a King James guy, you know, so I believe it's preserved and inspired. This is the only Bible that I use, you know. And I left one church for that when pastor said, and I mean, there's the church I was in my first church, and that pastor, he was good. So, he had to step down because of his age, 87. And a new guy came in and he said, well, I believe the Bible inspired in Greek and Hebrews. And we just keep asking him. And he always used Greek things and everything. So I don't speak Greek, you know. So, and then, and not only that, in some kind of lack of standard and everything, in kind of modern music. And I had to write him a letter. And it's hard to leave a church like that. Those people, good people. But I had to do it, you know. And I left, you know, for that. So I believe it's preserved, you know. God preserved his word here. This is the preserved of God's word, all right? But I wish I could say more, but this is all I can say just very shortly. You might say, well, you've been to Haiti. How do you know this is the King James Bible? In Haiti, I was fighting the Bible, too. We have some type of modern translation that really good for ancient, easy to read, you know what I mean? And people would just get mad at me. They said, well, we're trying to be a scholar. They said that to me, you know. And when I first come here, my friend, I said, which Bible do they use, you know? And I said, which Bible? Because I know there's so many modern translation, you know, had to do with making money and just attacking the blood of Christ and the deity of Christ. So this is the Bible that I use, you know, since I've been here. And for you as an American people, there's no excuse. I said, well, this is hard to understand. Every time I read this book, I get something on it. Amen. You know, just I thank God for that. Yeah. So I believe it's preserved and inspired, you know. So this is what I use exactly. So thank you so much for that. All right, if you have anything else, you can keep it for later on. Now, if you have a Bible, please, in the book of Genesis, chapter 12. And I love study character in the Bible. Think about Abraham and Moses, and I love that. This is my favorite study. I love study prophecy, too. And, you know, sometimes this is my habit. And Christian life, you know, study Bible, prophecy, and some of the things in the Bible. And, you know, one of my favorite characters is Abraham's life, when you study his life. Have you ever wondered, you know, Abraham, he was a man that has so many honor and title. And if you, throughout the Bible, you don't see anything bad about Abraham. For instance, in Genesis, it says that Abraham is a friend of God. Now, think about this. Phrase for a second. Abraham is a friend of God. Now, God himself called Abraham my friend. Abraham didn't say God is my friend. No, there's a big difference between you call yourself friend of God or God call you my friend. Amen. Anyone can call God friend. I mean, anyone, any backsliding or unsaved or whatever, just God is my friend. But God will not choose anyone to say, oh, he's my friend. No. And when God call you friend, that's mean a lot. Yeah. It's mean a lot. Yeah. But when you say God is my friend, that's mean nothing for God. But I would rather God call me my friend instead of say God, I am your friend. So now this is a title he has on his life. And one place in Luke chapter 16, how you see Abraham as well, and you see that the rich man called Abraham. He's He said, the father, you know, his title or honor, Father Abraham, and that poor Lazarus died, he went to Abraham's bosom. That's a place of rest. He went there. If you just keep digging out, you see all his title. I wonder why and how in the world he get all those titles. So we'll find out for a second, please. If you have your Bible in Genesis chapter 12, and let's just see together in Genesis chapter 12, please. And it says here, and, you know, okay, 12 verse number 1 to verse number 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land I will show thee. And I will make thee of a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee, and unto thee all family on earth shall be blessed. I want you to ask four phrases here. This is not on my lesson. Last time I was reading this verse again, I just kept myself some notes here. And there's four phrases here. Just, I love this so much, you know. Oftentimes, and people asking me, how do you know exactly God has called you to a specific place in Haiti? You know, I don't have a great answer for that, but if you go through the Bible, you just might find an answer. And I want you to see four things here about God's will. Number one, he said here in verse number one, I will show thee. You know, God said, I will show Abraham, you know. And people said, how do I know God called you to that place? Because God showed me exactly, not in dream or not in vision, but and I believe just if you are in God's will exactly, he will show you the specific place that you can serve God. God said, well, I'm going to show you that place. And look at the second will. Not only God will show you also, verse number two, I will make thee. God said, I will show thee and I will make thee. You know, God always makes someone that you are not. God can make you what you are not. You know, I say that often. God never called the qualified. He qualified those he called. I mean, he called you and he said, Peter, hey, Peter was a fisherman. He said, Peter, you just follow me. I will make you a fishers of men. He was catching fish. That's what he did for a living. Now, preacher, God makes you a preacher here to your people. And Sunday school, God make you a Sunday school teacher. God make a missionary. And not only he just show you that place and to serve, but he make you exactly what you are not. And secondly here, thirdly, look at the third will here. And I will bless thee. Not only God will show you and also make you what you are, he will bless you. Once you under his will and whatever things he wants you to do, he is going to bless you and bless your work. And second, I need to go quickly, please. This is not a part of my lesson. I just want to give you some bonus before I just teach my lesson right now here. And the last will is I will bless them. Show you, make you, and also bless you and bless them. People you're going to serve or people you minister, not only he will bless you, and he will bless your people here too. God never bless a ministry. God bless one man because of that man, and you can be blessing. And I can go on and on. What happened to a leader? See, about David's life, he messed up. Those people were messed up too. God never bless a ministry. He bless one man because of that man, and that ministry is blessed. Once you under his will, it's all God's will. And versus man's will, and or Satan's will. In Isaiah chapter 14, you see four wills of Satan. I will exalt myself, you know, all his will. And Luke chapter 14, you see that man said, well, and I have everything that need. And I will four wills, but I don't have time to go in all those things, please. But now let's get under this list. Now you don't get charged for that, okay? That's free. Anyway, so that's something I was thinking, you know, in my Bible study. And just it's very interesting to see how God is such a blessing, and God wants you to be in ministry. He wants you to be under his will. Amen. Now, let's back here to our lesson this morning. So put your hand up. How much time I got left?
About 10 up, 5 up.
Okay. Just keep. Remember, I see a clock here. We have the same time. But sometimes my watch stops every 5 minutes, okay? So just want to remind you anyway. One of the difficult choice or one of the difficult decisions Abraham had to make on his life is to leave home. Friend, this is tough. Can you imagine? You're used to your home, your family, and you know all those people, and God called you to a place where you have no idea what that place is look like. And I believe in all my might, with all my heart, Abraham Holmes was the most fancy home in his life. You know, now he had to leave home. God said, Abraham, I want you to leave your house, your father's, all your kindred to go to a place where exactly, and I'm going to show you that place. Friend, this is tough. Can you imagine you have your father and your sibling and everything you know and your friend around you? Now you're going to go to a place that you have no idea what that place looks like. You know, Abraham lived in a house. In Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1, leave your house. Now he's going to go to a place where that place has no foundation. He's going to live in the tents. You know what I mean? No foundation. Now he had to leave. You may say, why? I mean, God has a plan for Abraham. He wants to use him and he wants to part him in ministry. But only way that plan can be done, he had to leave home. You might think, why couldn't God use Abraham where he was right now? And to do that will, that God can use Abraham where he was. Now why exactly God allowed him to leave his house, his friend, his family? Now all you know, his life, you know, Abraham and his family, they were serving idols. And if you read in Joshua chapter 24, verse number 2, he said that, and Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, your fathers dwell in the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and his father Nahor, and they serve other gods. You know, the place he was living, you know, God always called people. Now, he was living in the comfort zone in his house. Mm-hmm. Now, that place had so many distractions in his life. Idols and probably worshiping that moons and God of sun and everything like that. You know, he was most fancy house, but there's so much destruction in his house. Right. Worshiping God, a false God. God, see Abraham, he said, I have a plan for your life, but I want to use you, but you can't stay where you are right now. Yeah. You have to move to another place. Amen. You know, everyone, I mean, if you are saved, you have a call in your life. I want to say this to you. You know, the purpose of Calvary and Jesus Christ died for you, not only to keep you out of hell. No. Salvation is much more than being saved, just being saved. There's so many things you have to do. Amen. You know, God called Abraham. He said, I need you. I have a plan for your life. I believe this morning God has a plan for each one of you here. Yeah. You're saving. He has a plan and a purpose for you. He wants to use you. But I want to see quickly a few things concerning this call of Abraham. And I want to say, number one, the call of Abraham was a call of absolute separation from something. Now, he had to separate his life. You know, his place he was living full of idols. God said, I want you to separate yourself from those things. In order, I can use you. Separate from things. You know, if you are a Christian, if you are saved, you know, God wants you to live a life of separation. I believe something I have to do every day to separate myself from things. I wonder this morning, what do you have to separate yourself from? Amen. You know, Christian have to separate from things. Maybe it may not be the same thing that Abraham was having in his life. Maybe there's something in your life that keep you from serving God. I wonder this morning what keep you from serving God. Amen. What keep you from having a relationship? There's something in your life you need to separate from. The call of Abraham, number one, was the call of absolute separation from things in his life. You see here in Genesis, And 1 Corinthians chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 8, 17, says that, wherefore, come out from among them. It said, come out from among them.
Amen.
And also, and be ye separate.
Amen.
God wants you to separate yourself. Be ye separate. Christian life, can I tell you something? I mean, if you want to be a good Christian, you have to separate yourself from this world, from things, and
Amen.
So many distractions. I wonder, you see, a lot of teen today, it's sad, and get addicted with certain things in their life. And I'm saying tonight, God has a plan for your life, but he wants you to separate yourself.
Amen.
Maybe we are living where I love it. I mean, I enjoy doing internet to do some stuff, you know, and mission things, you know. You know, a lot of people right now get distracted and caught up even just people right now, one click away can lead you to some bad stuff in internet
right.
right now. You know, you have to separate yourself from those things. Sad thing is, and people, I mean, average people today watching TV 8 hours a day.
That's right.
You know, 8 hours a day. Now, how much time you give God?
Amen.
You know, you have to separate yourself from those things.
Yeah.
God, if I want God use me, if I want God calling in my life, and I know there's certain things in my life, I have to separate from.
Amen.
Number one, I want to say, it's an absolute separation. I want to go quickly here. You see, Paul, I think about Paul. Paul was called for the ministry. He said in Acts chapter 2, Acts 13, verse number 2, separate me, Barnabas and Paul, for the work until I have called them. Separate. And I can go on and on and on to just show you exactly how God wants you to separate your life. And you see, when God created heaven and earth, the light was divided, the word for divided, and the word for separation from the darkness, you know what I mean? Because darkness in life has no fellowship, no relationship. Separate yourself.
Amen.
And not only the call of Abraham was a call of absolute separation, and I want to say number two, it was an absolute surrender. No, I want to say it was an absolute obedience first. Secondly, separation. Secondly, obedience. You know, God wants me. God said to Abraham here in Genesis chapter 22. Now, he obeyed that call of separation. Now, there's one more call. It's obey. Now, he wasn't having kids for his, he was old in age, you know, looking for kids. And okay, God said, okay, I'm going to give you a child. And takes a while, and now he had Isaac. Now, he was a godly man and just spent time with God and walking with God. Now, since he has that child, now he become like backslide in his life. Now said God, okay. God said, okay. Now in Genesis chapter 22, said, Abraham, I want you to take your child and go to a certain place and offer him as a sacrifice for me. You know, Isaac, you know, the sacrifice of Isaac, it's not about exactly. You said, well, okay, it's not about Isaac had to die. It was Abraham had to die himself.
Amen.
Because Isaac didn't die.
Right.
Now he was like backsliding. I mean, he couldn't just serve God anymore. Now, I want you to offer your son as a sacrifice. Can you imagine that? I have my son, and God wants him as a sacrifice. And this is weird. You might, in your day, this is something that weird. And he obeyed. He listened to God's voice.
Amen.
If you read in Genesis chapter 26, verse number 4, he said, I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars in heaven. And I will give unto thy seed all this country. And all thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Now listen to verse number 5. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statute, and my law, because he obeyed. You know, you want to obey God's voice. Maybe he says certain things in your life this morning you've got to do. God calls you. Maybe you're saved. You've been saved for a long time. You never get baptized. You know, the festival of Christian life,
Amen.
When you're saved, you follow the Lord and being baptized to identify you with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Maybe you need to obey God and baptize. Maybe this morning you're not saved. You heard the gospel so many times and people witness to you, give you a gospel tract and everything, but you always just keep rebellious. You never obey God's voice. Maybe you want to come to obey God's voice.
Amen.
Bible says here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 8, and the flaming fire and vengeance and of them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Flaming fire, that's been hell. If you not obey, God wants us to obey whatever things he wants you to do, he calls you to do. Obey God's voice. It was an absolute obedience. And I would say thirdly, it was an absolute surrender. Call of Abraham was surrender. You know, God wants me not only to separate myself from things and or obey, but also he wants me to surrender. And every morning I have to remind myself, God and I want to surrender my life and my heart. And this flesh is wicked as it can be.
Amen.
Never want to surrender for God. But I want to remind myself to surrender everything for God. You know, the Bible said, and Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You know, the Christian life is a paradox. What's that mean? The way you live is die. The way you die is to live. I mean, Jesus Christ died for you that you can live.
Amen.
Now he's in heaven, right? And I said, I live, now you die.
Amen.
Die yourself, daily dying. You need to die that flesh daily. Put this flesh unto death daily. The Bible said, mortify my body. Mortify. Like the word mortgage. Mortify means to death. Put unto death daily this flesh. Why I need to die myself? Because I want Christ liveth in me. Only way people can see Christ on me, I have to die this old flesh.
Amen.
Put things unto death daily. And not only, you see in the book of Romans chapter 12, I want to go quickly, please, my time almost up. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that ye present your body as a living sacrifice. He said, living sacrifice? That's weird. Living sacrifice, if you study and the Old Testament sacrifice, everything has to be brought unto death.
Amen.
You can't feel it, you can't touch it, but yours as a living sacrifice. While you're living, you are the sacrifice.
Amen.
Everything had to be brought unto death. I'm living as a sacrifice. Yours is living. Yours is not a deadly sacrifice. Present your body as a living sacrifice. You put this flesh unto death daily. Daily sacrifice. Not only living sacrifice, to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, that's surrender and yield yourself. God said, neither yield ye your members as an instrument of unrighteousness unto sin.
Amen.
That's what you're talking about today. You know, unto sin. He's talking about believer. You know? I mean, that's why I have to confess my sin. I did it today, this morning.
Amen.
Confess my sin.
Amen.
Bible said, if you confess your sin, he's faithful to forgive.
Amen.
You know, he's faithful. As a believer, you are saved, but you're still living in this wicked flesh.
That's right. Amen.
Every day, sin has to be, I don't know how many thousand sin I did every day, but I have to confess my sin.
Amen.
Not unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are living from the dead in your members as an instrument of righteousness. Three things. Number one, his call was a separation calling. Absolute separation, absolute obedience, and also absolute surrender. Three things. And how much time I got left to see? A couple minutes? Let me wrap it up quickly. Now, I want you to examine yourself quickly here as a believer. Here's the purpose of that. Listen, this is a long lesson. I'm trying to be rushed. Now, is the purpose of that lesson this morning? Before I done. Now, why did he have all those titles in his life? Number one, he was willing to pay that price. Now, I want you to examine yourself. this morning for a second by three things quickly. I'm not going to preach. I'm going to tell you those things. Listen very carefully. I want to say, number one, how far you go for God will be determined by the depth of your personal surrender. How far you go for God? Well, I want to be a Sunday school teacher. I want to see God use me. How far you go for God?
Amen.
You know, you have that call in your life. Now, let me stay in one thing instead of two. You have that call in your life. You know, all of us have a call. What we do, you kill that call in your life. You know, you kill it in your life. By doing certain things and just worldly things, you kill that call. You destroy exactly what God has for you to do. Now, how did you get to that place? To be close for a second, Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1, 2 tells us here. He said that here, wherefore is that come, what come before? Or when you see wherefore and therefore in the Bible, that's been something that come before. Now, as you study on Abraham's life, what's come before? If you go back to Hebrews 11, verse number 8 to 7, he said, by faith, let's start in verse number 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out of the place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obey, and went out, not knowing where he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as a strange country and dwelling in the tabernacle with Isaac and Jacob in their heirs with him and same promise. Now, back to verse number 12, chapter 12, verse number 1. He said, wherefore, seeing that, step down for a second. He said, seeing that, and verse number 12, verse number 1. Seeing we also are compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses. He's talking about those people. This is their testimony. Chapter 11. Now this is a conclusion. Verse number 2 and verse number 1 and verse number 2 is a conclusion of chapter 11 in Hebrews. You see how they did it? And he said that here. And also, you have to do the same thing. What do we have to do? Let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth easily beset us. Amen. All you have to do as a conclusion is the purpose. I want to see God use me. What do I have to do? Lay aside weight. That's what he did. Abraham, leave your house. There's weight in your life. He did. Lay aside every weight. And he said, you do the same thing too. And when you stand before God, you will be blameless.
Amen.
Father, thank you so much for this time. And I was rushing, Lord, and I hope I be a blessing for your people, Lord.
Amen.
And even myself, too, sometimes get so busy by doing things. Father, help us and guide us, Lord, to serve you. And just in my way, amen.
Amen.
Am I go over time?